reading of His Word, studying His Word together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You so much for this day. God, we thank You so much for this time, this opportunity that we have together as a family to come to worship You and to open up Your Word. Lord, this is a reverent time. It is a holy time. You know, whether we realize it or not, but God, when we open up Your Word and share it together, it's like we're sharing a meal together. And God, would You just be in the midst of this meal? Would You just be in the midst of this teaching? Help me to step aside. Let the Holy Spirit just take over. Open up our hearts and our minds. Let us draw near to You as we draw close to You as You draw close to us, according to James 4:8. God, we just ask that You would be glorified in this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Alrighty. So, today's sermon is going to be Peace Through Salvation in Christ. That is the title of today's sermon, Peace Through Salvation in Christ. If you all remember, last week I left off quoting James 4:8. And it said, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And I encouraged the congregation with this invitation to come before the Lord in a posture of humility. He delights in you. Let's delight in Him. Whether you open up your hands as a sign of obedience, or close your eyes to focus your mind, or to kneel to center your heart, draw close to Him as He draws close to you. And again, going off of last week, we put all of our trust in God because He is the God of hope, and He is in the restoration business by sending His Son, Jesus. As we look at the passage of Luke, today we'll be in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 35. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 35. And as we look at this passage of Luke, I want to give you a perspective of Simon or Simeon, however you want to look at that name. And then rest and peace are the emotions that I imagine Simeon felt on the day he saw Jesus. The Bible describes the Simeon as a righteous and devout person waiting on the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. That's in Luke 2:25. And Simon was waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue his hurting people. They needed peace in the world. But more than that, they needed peace in their hearts. Peace. The very thing we all long for in our hearts, minds, and places where we live. I don't have to tell you that many people don't have peace. All you have to do is read the news and listen to people talk and see that there is a lack of true peace. And as we continue the journey of Advent, I want to look at peace through salvation in Christ. I will give a brief historical content in the first part of the passage. Then focus on Simon's prayer and prayerfully be able to teach all of us how to restore peace in our lives and restore peace in our lives. So let's look at Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 35 together. Picking up in verse 22. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written, the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came into the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to him, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, Now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. The historical content on the laws. The purification according to the law of Moses. So if you everybody turns to Leviticus chapter 12, I will not read this passage. Ladies, go back and read Leviticus chapter 12, five verses by yourselves. You'll figure out why I don't want to read it in front of the whole congregation. All right, Leviticus chapter 12. But I want to focus on verse 6. And in Leviticus 12, you will find out the requirements for the purification. This is what Mary was doing, all right? And again, go read the first five verses on your own, and picking up in verse 6, and I'm just going to read a little bit of verse 6. And when the days of her purifying are completed, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of the meeting a lamb or a year old for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or two turtle doves for a sin offering. Okay? So, in other words, this is part of the purification. They had to pay for the sin. This is like an atonement for the purification. Okay? Now, you notice that they brought two turtle doves. Okay? Not a partridge in a pear tree. Two turtle doves. That is because they were very poor. They were very poor. So Joseph and Mary were very poor, and that's all they could afford was two turtle doves. And so that's all they could bring. And so they were acting in obedience according to the law of Moses. So Jesus' parents were acting out in obedience. Jesus was born to be the Savior of the world. He acted out in obedience even to the point of death. So we see the historical content here is all about obedience to the law and how they were faithful to the law. And they were poor, but yet they loved Jesus, their firstborn. Okay, so they had to present their firstborn to the Lord as a requirement. So go to Exodus 13:2. So Genesis, Exodus, that's the second chapter. I'm sorry, second book of the Bible. Genesis 13:2. And this is God speaking to Moses. So the Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and a beast, is mine. So Jesus was the firstborn of his family. So for Mary and Joseph, right? So he was the first to open up Mary. And it's really interesting. If you go back and you really look at the historical content of everything, I mean, the fact that he was the firstborn of his family and that he belonged to God, it just is like, wow. Okay, there's a lot to be said to that, you know, and how God set that all up. God set that all up. God knew what he was doing. God knew how he wanted to extend hope through his son, Jesus. And he said, I'm going to have the laws of Moses say it this way because Jesus is going to be born at this time, and he's going to be the firstborn of the family, and he's going to be the Savior of the world. He is going to be the light to not only the Israelites, but also to the Gentiles. All right? Levitical law. They followed the Levitical law. And again, reminder, two turtle doves were an indication that they were very poor, okay? They were very poor. So for your carpenters out there, I hope that you make good living, because Joseph was a carpenter, and apparently they didn't make a lot of money back then. So I don't know. I don't know anything about carpentry. I know that if I try to use a saw, I end up almost cutting off my finger, so I don't use any of those materials. All right? But carpentry, I do see the results of good woodworking, though. And Jesus was a carpenter. He got that trade from his father, or his stepfather, Joseph. And side note, I like to send Joe all kinds of woodworking material. It's fantastic. Some of them are pipe dreams. But anyway, continuing on. Simon's prayer. If you look at Luke 2:29-32, notice what he says. My eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared for all. Okay? A little word study here. So this is back in Luke, that's 29-32. Let's actually read that one more time. Luke 29-32 says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. Salvation is soteria, and the study of salvation is soteriology. All right, so the study of salvation. Why, as believers, should we study the word salvation? What does the word salvation mean? And what does it mean when he says, I have seen your salvation? That means that we're going to be saved from sin. All right, so again, my sermon is peace through salvation in Christ. Jesus came to give the peace of the world through the salvation, the soteria, which is the saving from sin, and that is the peace that we have. That is the gospel. Remember, I love that song. There is one gospel that we love to sing. We stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ, the salvation of Jesus Christ, right? And Simon is saying, I have seen this salvation in the baby. I can now die in peace. I can die an old man. I have seen God in the flesh. He has come to rescue Israel. Wow. Wow. I couldn't imagine being in the temple. He was in the temple. Can you imagine waiting that day? Can you imagine being Simon, waiting for the day of the Lord? He knew that Jesus was going to be born. He knew it. And he was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. He was an old man. He was an old man when Jesus was born. And now he said, now I can finally die in peace because I've seen the salvation, the soteria. I have seen the salvation to all people. Hope, peace, love, joy, right? All these things that Jesus brought to us. And the Jews the Israelites at that time did not understand that Jesus was the true Messiah. They were expecting a king. Right? They were expecting a ruler to come and wipe out the Romans because they were under Roman rule and they were under their thumb. But Jesus did conquer the Romans. He conquered the Romans, the Assyrians. He conquered death. He conquered Satan because of his death on the cross. Because he came to offer us hope through salvation. Soteria. We as believers study salvation as it is the very meaning of being saved from our sins and reconciled to God. We want to be reconciled to God. And Simon saw this. Simon saw that there was going to be reconciliation from humans to God. Isn't that a great message of hope? Isn't that something that you would want to tell somebody? Like, hey, I see that you don't have hope. Let me give you something that would give you hope. Jesus. He is our hope. He is our Savior. He is our reconciliation between us and God. And Simon knew that Jesus was bringing the salvation of peace and redemption for all kind. I want you to go to Isaiah 25:9. Notice this is an Old Testament prophecy being fulfilled. And I read to you out of the prophecy Isaiah today. Pretended to be Isaiah. Isaiah 25, 9. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Simon was basically saying that same thing. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. His salvation, God's salvation to mankind. I don't care how rich you are, you cannot pay your way into heaven. You cannot buy salvation. You cannot earn salvation. All right, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is a free gift. Heaven is a free gift. You have to just reach out and accept it. You cannot buy it. And by the way, think about this. So you have a good friend of yours, and he buys you a Mercedes-Benz, and he wants you to have it for free. And then you go to pull out your wallet, and you give him a dollar. What does that make that Mercedes-Benz? It's no longer a free gift, is it? And that you would insult your friend. That's the same thing with heaven. Heaven is a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. And that is our hope. And Jesus died on the cross to pay that penalty for our sin. He died willingly. And you cannot even $1 pay for that salvation. Salvation in Christ, right? Peace. It's just awesome. We have seen his salvation. We have experienced salvation. Go to Revelation 7:9. Go to Revelation 7:9. This is the promise. This is the hope. This is what Simon was seeing when he saw the babe Christ. According to Revelation 7:9, after this, I looked up, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And I'm going to continue. And crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation belongs to our God. Multitudes that nobody could even fathom. This is what Simon was saying. This is what Isaiah the prophet was saying. There was going to be salvation to all people. Right? And the Israelites blew it. The Jews blew it. And that's why the Gentiles got to have an opportunity. Thank you, Jews, for blowing that so we could have the opportunity to be saved. Right? Peace through Christ. Peace through salvation in Christ. Hope. Restoring us to God. I really feel bad for people who tell me that they don't believe in God. I really feel bad for the atheists. Or for the ones who say they worship a cow. Or the river. Or a tree. Or their car. Because they have not witnessed an experience that Simon experienced that day that he got to hold the Lord Jesus. Brother John, could you imagine that joy that Simon felt when he held the Lord Jesus as a baby? And he said, salvation has come. Salvation has come. There's only been a few times in my life that I've actually got to hold a newborn baby. And then I give them right back to their parents because they're very delicate and I don't want to drop them. But for the parents that are newborn, they get to experience that newborn child, I couldn't imagine the joy that lights up the room. And they have that hope, that peace for just a few moments and they're waiting, you know, the baby cries and it does what it does, and there's a love there, right? And Simon was looking at that baby for Joseph and Mary, and that love was all for all mankind. Wow. God knew what he's doing. God knew what he was doing. So that was Simon's prayer. And by the way, what he was telling Mary, he was prophesying to her, your son is going to die, and that sword is going to hurt you. You're going to watch him die. Be ready for that. Because he came to be the Savior, the glory to all people, to the Gentiles and to the Jews. So my third point is restore peace in your own life. Go to Acts 4:12. Go to Acts 4:12. And this is continue on with the salvation, the soteria. Soteriology. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is our answer for our salvation. Jesus is our answer for salvation. So how do you restore peace in your life? If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, receive him as your Savior. If you have Jesus as your Savior, but you've walked away, the good news, the hope, is that you can be restored gently. Galatians 6:1 is we as believers can come around you and help you be restored back to Christ. All right? There is hope in our salvation. All right? So Jesus is our answer for salvation. The Lord blesses his people with strength and peace. You don't have to turn there, but I will. Write this one down, Psalm 29:11. Psalm 29:11. This is giving you tools, I hope and pray, on how to restore peace back in your life. Psalm 29:11 says, "May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace." Okay? So, if you don't have peace, turn to the Lord because he gives us peace. The Lord blesses his people with strength and peace. Ask God for peace. Ask God for strength, and he will bless you with that. All right, so restore that peace through God. And we can have the ministry of reconciliation, according to 2 Corinthians 5:18. These are all tools. Verses that I want you to be able to write down and go back and look at it for yourself. It says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus is the reconciler, and we have the ministry of reconciliation. We have the gospel. We have the good news. We share the hope of the good news with people. And then we get to watch them be transformed. Right? So what did that lady say in the biblical counseling that video? She said, I got to see somebody who was hurting be transformed and renewed with the relationship with Christ. That is our hope. That we can be reconciled with Christ. And folks, there's a lot of us going through a lot of painful things in our life. We are watching loved ones experience a lot of things that we wish they weren't experiencing. And what can we do? We can pray for peace. We can pray for strength. We can pray for hope, okay? And we can pray that God would be that hope for us. Remember this as I close out this sermon. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you, James 4:8. While we briefly looked at the word salvation, my prayer for all of us is that we pray for peace in our homes, in our communities, in our church body. Let's have the posture of humility and humbleness and grow in the Lord together. For further study, look at Psalms 29 and 25 again. The Lord bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are so good. You are so awesome. God, you had a plan all the way from Leviticus and Exodus to Isaiah to Luke to Revelation. That there one day is going to be a multitude of people that we can't even fathom standing before you saying, salvation belongs to the Lord. Wow. Because salvation does belong to you. And Father, I just pray for CMA Church that we would continue to be a beacon of hope, that we would continue to help people be reconciled to God, that we would be the ones with the ministry of restoration, helping people restore to you, Father God. That they would come to salvation. And if they have salvation, that they would go and be transformed and renewed in the Spirit. That they would renew their minds in the Word. That they would go and look at Ephesians 22, 23, and 24. To put off the old self, to renew their minds in the Scripture, and to put on Christ. And that they would remember Romans 8, 28, and 29. That you are the God of peace. That you are the God of all understanding. That there is nothing that has not been common to man that we have not walked through. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And how it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And that it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that every man may be equipped for every good work. And so that we can use the word of God to restore gently and to make upright again, to be made useful again. So when somebody is hurting and they're not being able to be used right now, Father, help us as a body to come around that person and to gently restore them so that they can be made useful again. So that we can look at other people and say, they need hope. Help us to be bold in our own salvation so that we can share the gospel. And Father God, I just want to lift up anybody who is hurting, whether it be physical ailments, emotional ailments, spiritual ailments. Father God, you are the great physician. Jesus, you are our healer. And according to James chapter 5, we know that we can come and pray for healing and that you would hear our prayer. Doesn't mean that you will answer it in your own way, but we can at least ask. And Father, we pray for the ones who are battling cancer. Father, that is a huge battle, and it's painful, and it can bring sorrow and depression and grief. And Father, we pray that the people that are battling cancer, Lord, that they would find you and that they would lean on you and that they would put their hope in you, Father God, because you are the gift, you are our hope. And Father God, for the loved ones who are watching the ones battling cancer, give them strength, give them courage, give them the words of wisdom to speak love and life into the people that are battling cancer. And Father, I pray for the ones who are struggling with walking. Father God, I just pray that you would give them the legs that they would have to be able to walk upright. For the ones who are battling despair and discouragement and grief, Father, I ask that you would take those feelings and throw them as far as east is from the west and fill them with the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to come into those people and just give them hope. Just like Simon was able to look down at the Lord Jesus and say, I can now rest because salvation is here. Let us have that same mentality as we go about. Peace through salvation and Christ. Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you so much for being willing to die on the cross, a sinless death, a murderous death, so that we could be restored unto the Father, that we could be called sons and daughters of God through adoption, that we all we have to do is put our faith in Jesus Christ. You, Father, are so good. And I just pray that for anybody here battling anything, Lord, that they would just be willing to step out of their comfort zone and seek help and seek hope and help us to be the light of the world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We do have one more worship song.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught school.